Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of year again. It's early fall. Leaves are on the ground everywhere except for Florida. Scary movies are populating the movie theater. Well, there's It Chapter 2 and there's Zombieland 2, but what we have for you this week is a special horror movie trivia edition of the Pub Trivia Experience. If you've been a listener to the show for a while, you know that we are big movie fans. I myself am a big horror movie fan, although I will never, ever, ever say I know a lot about horror movies, and you're going to find that out here rather quickly. Joining me today, in-house, in-studio, is Mr. Jeff Gore.
Hey, guys.
And Jeff, what are you drinking today, buddy?
Tonight I've got the smoky but lovely Lafroig 10-Year. I believe that's what we got.
That's a bottle of scotch that one of our other guests tonight, Mr. Mike Mott, got me as a housewarming present. So it's been here that long.
And I can tell. I mean, this campfire has been rearing for years, and now it is all up in my mouth.
Oh, man. On the phone, joining us again, we've got the lovely and talented Miss Jess.
Hello. Go Knowles.
Go Knowles, Jess. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking the very last of my Dark Horse Cabernet Sauvignon.
And we just recorded two nights ago, and that's the same thing you were drinking then.
Yeah. But it's like the very last glass, so...
I'm impressed. I'm usually a one-sitting bottle of wine kind of guy.
Oh, really?
It's gone.
I used to be, but I can't handle the hangovers anymore. So I'm trying to get better about that stuff.
Jess is also tiny, so it's...
Right. It doesn't take much. I'm a very cheap date. So one glass of wine is perfect. Or two is better.
Two is better. Fresh... Was it... Is it double mint gum? Is that what it is?
Double your pleasure, double your fun. Yeah. Double mint gum.
All right. Joining Jess playing on her team today is Mr. Jason. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey, Jason. You drinking anything tonight?
Just some ice cold tap water from the glaciers of Fishers, Indiana.
Those lovely Indiana glaciers.
We have lots of them. Yes, we do.
Depending how big a glacier is, I got about 40 or 50 of them in my fridge. So, and joining me tonight, playing alongside of a terrible trivia player, is a decent trivia player. One might call him a pretty damn good trivia player. It is Mr. Mike Mott.
Thank you, Chris. Although, as we learned on the previous podcast, I know very little about horror movies. I think my primary role here tonight is going to make sure that Chris knows that the director of Psycho is, in fact, Alfred Hitchcock and not Stanley Kubrick, and that's my one per cast. I'm getting it out of the way early.
Oh, man.
That could have been a question. You know?
I hope it is. I'll know the answer. And, Mike, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I am drinking a beer called the Punkachino. It is a coffee pumpkin ale. It's from Elysian Brewery. I know they're from they're owned by Budweiser, but that has the upside of it being easier to find. So it is actually a very good beer. Like, it's my two favorite types of beers are coffee beers and pumpkin beers, and this combines them, so I couldn't resist.
Sounds fabulous.
I'm not a pumpkin beer guy. I don't care.
I'm not either.
Oh, I'm into it.
I do love coffee stouts, though. Coffee stouts.
So I have got, I am a big, there's a few breweries I'm a big fan of. This one here is quickly rising up the list. This is from Big Top Brewery down in Sarasota, Florida. And this is called the Hawaiian Lion. It is a coconut coffee porter.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Let's see.
Like the name, too.
Dude, I have beer fuzz all over my computer screen now.
But you got a sound bite.
Oh, it smells good. Let's see. Oh, my God. Oh, I want 12 of these.
You can call me Mike.
I want 12 of these. Holy crap, that's delicious.
Now, is that different than the coconut one I had here a while back? I can't recall.
Yeah, it would have been. Okay. I've only had this once, and it wasn't here. I had it. Where would I have? I might have had it at Draft House.
Oh, There's some good coconut beers out there right now.
And I am going to go ahead and log this on Untappd right now. And for those of you out there that would like to follow the trivia team here on Untappd, you can find me at Pub Trivia Podcast, I believe. Let me look. Why can't I find it?
Pub Trivia Experience.
Yep. At Pub Trivia Experience on Untappd, find me, give us a follow, and you will see that I am drinking tonight the lovely Hawaiian Lion. Now, with all that being said, Mr. Jeff is going to be our host tonight. Jeff, why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're in store for?
Well, I can't wait to get this started for you guys. We've got four amazing rounds with a wonderful halftime and the most amazing final round that's ever come up.
Because you wrote them?
Basically, because I wrote this.
All right. And where did these questions come from?
All off the top of my head.
Definitely not out of a box.
Definitely not out of a Trivial Pursuit horror box set. yeah, definitely not out of there.
All right. And your teams today are going to be Mr. Mike Mott and myself taking on Jess and Jason, and we have resigned ourselves to the loser circle already. But
it really depends on the questions.
Hey, we're drinking beer. We're living in America. It's a lovely night. I say we're all winners.
Well, there you go.
Can't argue with that.
I'd elect him
at this point. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's get started.
All right, let's get this going. So for the four main rounds, each question is going to be worth 5 points. We have a theme for each round, and for our round one, the theme is directors.
I'm feeling a little better, Mike.
All right. So since, they have
Stanley Kubrick,
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Since they've already deemed themselves the losers, let's go with, question number one.
Let's do it.
Who directed 2004's The Village?
I can go ahead and lock that in, Mike.
Yeah, I know it too. So,
all right.
Knowing your history with screwing this up, Chris, should I text you just to make sure, or
just go ahead and you can say the answer. We'll let Jess and Jason talk it out.
Go ahead and talk it out.
Yeah, we know that one too.
All right, then, Chris and Mike, you guys want to go ahead?
Sure. That would be M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalama ding dong.
All right, Jess and Jason?
Yep.
Concur.
Don't need an answer.
Well done, well done. I'm glad I threw that one out there for you guys right off the bat. All right, question number two. Night of the Living Dead from 1968 is the debut of what filmmaker?
Chris, I'm going to let you handle this one.
Okay, I can lock in.
Yeah, I know that one too.
You want to go first, Jess? You want me to?
George Romero.
It's definitely George Romero.
All right, George A. Romero is the director.
And by the way, I just want to be clear. I did know that one. That was more of a callback to the fact that I completely blew another question about George Romero on the previous podcast.
Yeah,
you did.
I could have just stopped that sense at completely blue. Anyway.
All right. Right off the bat, we're 2 for 2. All right. Question number three. Who directed 1978's Magic? I mean, the fact that no one has started singing Magic right now is kind of disappointing. I'm a little surprised, Chris.
I didn't know Magic was a song. I thought it was just a gathering.
Ooh. I was actually just sitting here going to say the exact opposite. I'd start singing if I could decide which song called Magic I was going to sing.
Mm. And there's a lot of songs with magic in the title. Magic Man, You Can Do Magic.
Yeah.
Every little thing he does is magic. There's somebody magic.
The first that popped into my head was It's Magic by the band Girls, but that would be really obscure. So.
Did that come out in 1978 by chance?
It did not come out in 1978.
It doesn't sound like it was.
All right, Mike, are you more comfortable with my answer or yours?
I think I'm more comfortable with yours because I agree with your logic about why mine is probably incorrect.
Okay, we'll go ahead and lock in. We'll let Jess and Jason talk it out.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm definitely more comfortable with your answer.
You can actually answer. You can say your answers. We already locked in. Yep. So you can talk through whatever you need to talk through.
I don't have any answers, Jason. We can use your answer, which is completely wrong, and just call back the wings. But I don't know if they get the reference.
I mean, Alfred Hitchcock. That's the one director.
It's definitely not Alfred Hitchcock. I don't even know if he was alive at that point. I think he died in the 80s.
In 1978?
I don't know. He wasn't directing movies in the 70s. I know that for sure. At least not late 70s. I don't know. We can just say and what?
Was that around the time Psycho came out?
No, that came out in the 60s.
It was the late 60s. No. Yeah, sure. Go with my answer.
Anne Margaret. Yeah, we don't know the answer to that. We're gonna say Anne Margaret, which is a call to wings. Obviously, we know she's not a director. It's just a funny joke that you might get, you might not get. Anne Margaret.
All right. Well, thank you for that answer. It is incorrect.
So while Anne Margaret may have all the silver in the world.
I love that episode. And they're playing Trivial Pursuit. So it seems very important.
There's a director. There are a couple of directors we talked through. We talked through Roman Polanski.
That's who I was.
But my logic to that was, I feel like if it was a Polanski film, I would have heard of it. And I think Mike would have as well.
And honestly, Chris, now that I think about it, I think that's around the time he directed Macbeth. So.
And so we ended up going with my answer. My answer was Toby Hooper.
All right, Toby Hooper is also incorrect. The director is Richard Attenborough.
Oh, really?
No shit.
Yeah.
What else was he directed?
John Hammond himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gandhi was probably his most famous movie.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
I've heard worse. All right,
that
question.
Was pretty good, Chris. That was way better than any of your creepy voices.
I was going to say, for Chris, that was
pretty
good.
Anne Margaret is in that movie. That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
It is hilarious.
Oh, we've come full circle.
Fergus Meredith is in it. Oh, I need to watch this. I love him. Sorry. Anyway, sir. That's funny. So we were kind of close.
You were closer than we were.
I think that deserves half a point. All right.
So the score is 5-5.
If it's a tie, give it to them because of that.
Yeah. All righty. So question number 4. Who directed 2002's 28 Days Later?
Oh, my God.
Chris, I'm going to text you a name. I think it's right, but.
Yep, we're locked in.
Yep. You texted me at the same time. Yep.
All right. Jess and Jason, you guys can go ahead and talk it out.
Europe. England.
You're right. It took place in Europe.
Good to know.
I'm just trying to think of. Yeah.
I love this movie, by the way. This movie is endlessly creepy.
That helps.
It's very creepy.
I think
of a director that's directed a lot of movies from there. Might seem like a long shot, but I'm going to say Danny Boyle. Maybe. That's my answer. I don't know.
Is that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the correct answer is...
Do you want us to give our answer?
No, I don't want your answer. All right, team losers, what is your answer?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, Jess, well done. Danny Boyle is our answer as well.
It's definitely Danny Boyle.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a lucky guess.
All right, well, the correct answer is Danny Boyle.
We know.
Good, because I didn't.
Also, he was also the director, the guy in charge of when London hosted the Olympics. He was the one that did their opening ceremony.
I love that opening ceremony with all those awesome British acts. That's like my favorite opening ever to any Olympics.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And it
was the best.
It was done by Danny Boyle.
Oh, wow.
No, wow. I didn't know that.
I'm going to have to Google that later and make sure that's right, because if it's wrong, I have to edit all that out.
Yeah.
95% sure okay, that's
Chris,
right.
I was just listening to the podcast where you claimed that only one amendment was passed between Prohibition and the repeal of Prohibition.
So. Yeah, I was wrong there, too.
Yes, you were.
I guess I'm drinking and playing trivia.
No, you don't. You need to keep drinking and playing trivia.
Yeah, pretty sure that's the only reason people stick around. All right, so after round one, the teams are tied up at 15-15.
Woohoo!
Well done.
Hooray!
On to round two. Round two is actors.
I know these.
You may have heard of some of them.
Now, to be clear, these are both male and female actors, potentially.
That is correct. However, they may be genderless for all I know.
Well, that this is true.
All right. Question number one. Which actor from The Office portrayed one of the teenage protagonists in the 2003 movie House of 1000 Corpses?
Wait.
Oh, I love that damn, movie. I love this movie. You made me watch this movie, Jess.
I know, I did. Yeah, that was like my sequence. I thought.
You said, Jeff, you said from The Office?
Yes, what actor from The Office portrayed one of the teenage protagonists in the 2003 movie House of 1000 Corpses?
I know one. I don't know if they were on that show. Actually, I know two. I don't know if they were on that show. Oh, fuck. Yes, I think I'm...
I think they have an answer.
I think so. Are you guys ready to lock in?
Wait, no, I just need a little more time to chew on this. Because we had to get first and last name, right? From the...
Correct.
Oh my god.
Okay, I think I know it. Did they lock in already?
They have not.
Jason, unless you want me to, you want a message over this, or... I made you watch that movie, didn't I?
I've tried to a couple of times. I never cared for it, so I don't remember much about it.
I never made you watch this. I'm almost positive I was like, when I first met you, I made you watch this movie. Apparently that was like 11 years ago. But... All right, I'm sorry, what?
I only know of one actor from The Office, so.
Okay. I think I can lock my answer in. I think I'm pretty sure. I just took a little time to remember. I'm locked in.
All right, they're locked in. Mike and Chris, if you guys like to go ahead and talk it out.
All right, Mike. So I'm just trying to think of actors from The Office who might have been within teenager range of House of 1000 Corpses. So it's
right. And he said 2003.
So I'm thinking Krasinski.
You know, Krasinski was probably a little older than teenage, but there's, you know, how often do 20 somethings play teenagers?
That's true.
A lot.
Like almost more. There are probably more 20 something teenagers than the actual teenagers in the movies.
I think
Krasinski's a good choice. You mentioned BJ Novak. I thought that was a good guess.
Jenna Fischer sticks out as a possibility as well.
Jenna Fischer, yeah, that's true.
You brought up Mindy Kaling, but I don't remember. I feel like I'd remember her in the movie.
You know, I've never seen the movie. If memory serves who directed it, I'm just generally not like a fan of his.
Rob Zombie directed it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether I should say that in case something like comes up later. But
we already did directors.
Oh, that's a good point.
So who else is from The Office that would be like Michael Scott?
It's not going to be Steve Carell's too old. He'd be too old. He was in The 40-Year-Old Virgin 2 years later.
Yeah,
so
that's
there's
true.
No way he went from playing a teenager to playing a 40-year-old.
Okay, what about Angela Kinsey or Creed Bratton's too old? Kyle Bumgarner guy, the guy who played Kevin's too old. Stanley's too old. Phyllis too old.
Yeah.
Oh, it's what?
Probably not.
Not Craig Robinson.
White's too old. Guy, I'm drawing a blank.
Rainn Wilson.
Rainn Wilson. Jeez.
But yeah, and I also don't picture him. If you're doing that movie, you're not casting Rainn Wilson as the teenager. You might cast him as one of the people in the house.
Right.
He might look like a corpse.
Yeah. Fair. Again, I don't know the movie, so we're just really pulling names out. So I actually Jenna Fisher I thought was a pretty good guess. John Krasinski I think is a good guess too. So
I'm leaning more towards Jenna Fisher. That's me.
That's kind of where I'm leaning too. So
okay, we'll lock in Jenna Fisher.
Man, Chris, you said the answer. It was Rainn Wilson.
Is it Rainn Wilson?
He was the mermaid. They chopped his body up.
Oh, son of a bitch, you're right. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's totally Rainn Wilson. Holy crap.
Yeah, he's wearing the glasses. And
the correct answer is Rainn Wilson.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It is totally Rainn Wilson. You're totally right. Holy crap. How did I miss that?
But it's lovely that you talked so much shit about him definitely not being cast in that.
Right?
I know.
I hope they get back to him.
I've seen the movie Super. He'll come down here and kick my ass.
Definitively, you rejected that particular answer, Chris.
I know. I was like,
I love that you.
Next time I go definitively against something, just remind me of this and we'll go with it. Damn. All right.
All right. Well done. You picked up 5 points there. All right. Question number two in actors. What actor portrayed both Lucas and Jeffrey in 2013's Mama?
Can you read the question, please?
What actor portrayed both Lucas and Jeffrey in 2013's Mama?
Mike, I'm texting you a couple here. Oh, wait, hold on.
If you know
the answer, lock it in.
Yeah. Okay, we can I know his name, so yeah, we can lock it in.
All right, they're locked in. Jess and Jason, if you guys like to talk it out.
We're just going to say Anne Margaret because we haven't seen that movie. We haven't seen it. So, Anne Margaret.
Because I think this is the one where Jessica Chastain plays the mother.
And yes, I remember that. Now that you say that, that's the one I think I remember.
Because I'm looking it up online right now. This is the movie. This is what I'm thinking it is. It's Andy Muschietti, the guy that directed it.
He locked it in, by the way.
Yeah. Fortunately, he's already locked it in.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
You guys probably should go ahead and say your answer, though.
Did they lock in?
Yes. Yeah, I believe they locked in with Anne Margaret.
Yeah. So it's I was right. It was directed by Andy Muschietti, who did It, and it's freaking Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, Chris. So Chris
I don't know his name.
Jamie Lannister, and I said, okay, if it's Jamie, I started texting him the name, which is ridiculously long, and he said, well, if you know it, just lock in. So Chris texted me Jamie Lannister. So our answer is Nicolaj Coster-Waldau.
And the correct answer,
or something like that,
is Nicolaj Coster-Waldau. Well done.
It's a creepy movie if you haven't seen it. It really is a creepy movie.
Let's see, round two, we're so far 5-5. Question number three. The original Michael Myers mask in Halloween was created using an actual Halloween mask of what actor?
Locked in.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm pretty sure I know this if you don't.
Oh, they already locked it in. It's Kirk. What's his name?
It's William Shatner.
Shatner.
Right?
It's the Shat.
Yeah.
All right, and Jess and Jason?
That is correct.
All right, you guys are correct. William Shatner's mask was used in the making of the original Michael Myers mask.
It is. They painted it. I think they got it, and they painted it white, if I'm not mistaken. Which, by the way, I want to go back. My goal before Halloween happened is it Halloween H2O or Halloween Resurrection that has Busta Rhymes in it?
Resurrection.
I need to go back and rewatch Halloween Resurrection.
Do you?
Yes. That is one of my two guilty pleasure horror movies. That and House of Wax, the remake of House of Wax with Paris Hilton. I love those movies.
On to our final question for round two. In the 1932 movie The Mummy, what actor played the namesake character?
I think I know the.
Good.
Let me think about this. All right. Jump the gun here. You say good, Jason?
Good.
Mike, if you know it, take it. I don't have it.
Is that right, what I just texted you?
If I have no idea if it's right. I know that name and the time period is right, but I have no idea.
Okay, we can lock in then. I'm pretty sure that's right.
You guys can talk it out.
The only name that came to mind for me is Boris Karloff. So that's the answer I'm going to go with.
All right, and Mike and Chris, your answer? Hey.
We are. Did they lock in with that?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, we also locked in with Boris Karloff.
Well done, folks. The answer is, in fact, Boris Karloff.
Nicely done, Jess. Nicely done, Mike.
Yeah, good job, guys.
I'm impressed.
Good job, everybody.
Thought that was going to be a difficult one.
I can name the guy who played the lead character in freaking Nosferatu, but I can't do that.
Well, I'm glad I didn't put that question on there then.
I'm not. Actually, Chris, I think I can too. So
Max von Schreck, right?
Yeah, was there a Von? I thought it was just Max Schreck, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
You might be right.
I've been wrong a lot tonight, so it doesn't matter.
All right, after our first two rounds, our teams are tied at 30 each.
Woohoo!
We're going to take a quick break here for beer replenishment.
I'm going to go get a new beer. Hold on.
I need an ice cube. All right, halftime has been inspired by the latest podcast that I actually listened to. And we're going to play a rousing game of rotten or fresh.
Ooh.
We've got 10 movies lined up here, and we're going to start by each one of you selecting one of the 1 through 10, and you will then guess whether it is rotten or fresh. Each one is worth 2 points. And at the end, we have a 10-point bonus.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
All right. So, since we are tied, and the apropos named losing team is not losing, let's go ahead and give it over to Jess and Jason for you guys to select the first number.
Three.
Number three is 1988's Child Play. Is that rotten or fresh?
You mean Child's Play?
Yes, it's Child's Play.
Please, what the hell did I say?
Child Play.
Child's Play.
No, you didn't have an S in there.
It was in there somewhere.
S, yeah.
Maybe it was Splay.
Child's Play.
So just for clarification, fresh or rotten as in for like the Rotten Tomatoes website?
That is correct.
Hmm.
And just as a minor clarification, I believe it's if you're less than 60%, you're considered rotten. 60, like less than 60% of critics think.
Yeah, and it's based on critics' reviews.
That is actually a great clarification and something I did not know until today when I looked it up.
So Rotten Tomatoes is a movie aggregate website.
Oh, no, not aggregate again.
Did that episode air yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, so Jess and Jason, okay, so Child's Play to you.
Anything less than 60%, you said, is considered rotten.
Correct.
That's right.
Anything over is considered rotten.
Correct.
Keep in mind, Rotten Tomatoes only goes off of certified critic reviews.
Right, not fans.
Yes.
Not people that love the movie. Yeah.
All right, Jess and Jason, what's your answer?
Well, if it's going to go over, if it's below or above 60%, Jason, which is very helpful to know. I always thought it had to be like 100%, like perfect score to get fresh. I'm gonna say fresh unless you want to throw your 2 cents in.
I personally didn't like it, but.
What are they doing whether you liked it or not?
I have no idea, right? Yeah, I have no idea what. Sure. I'm good with fresh.
All right. Child's Play is fresh. Well done.
Oh. Good.
All right. Chris and Mike.
That always scared the crap out of me. Sorry.
Mike, pick a number.
Eight.
Eight is 2003's Freddy vs. Jason.
I love this movie. Unapologetically love this movie.
Oh, no, it's really entertaining.
There is no way this movie is fresh.
Right, that's exactly. We're gonna hate that. So
Freddy slices off Kelly Rowland's nose and then literally says, "Got your nose."
Yeah. I love it.
It's wonderful.
But, I love it. Yeah. Jess, is this the one? Is this the movie with the girl from?
Yes, from Ginger
Snaps.
Snap.
Catherine Isabel.
Yeah.
Oh, Catherine Isabel.
Gosh, she's so hot.
Oh, man. All right. Mike, you want to go rotten?
Yeah, I would go rotten on that.
It's rotten as hell.
You guys are 100% correct. That is rotten.
Wow.
All right. Jess and Jason, pick a number.
You go, Jay. Your turn. Pick a number.
Seven.
Seven is 1998's hit movie, Halloween H2O.
Ooh, perfect.
I love this movie too.
I like the movie a lot.
So did I. I had, the critics did though.
Probably not. The critics suck. Well, not all. I vote rotten.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, rotten.
All right, final answer is rotten, and rotten is correct. Well done. Mike and Chris.
We'll go with number one.
Number one. Number one is 2019's Ma.
Ah. Chris, I feel like that was fresh. I feel like it got some pretty decent reviews, but I could be completely wrong.
Dude, I'm blanking here. Which one is Ma?
It's the one with Octavia Spencer.
Oh, God.
I just rented this recently. It was pretty funny. Redboxed it.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong. Just for some reason, I feel like that got pretty decent reviews. But I'd...
Yeah, I'm okay going... I didn't see it. I just remember watching the trailer and going, nope, doesn't interest me. So I could be wrong. Maybe it is. Yeah, let's go fresh.
Okay, yeah. If I'm wrong, then nothing happens. We can go to jail peacefully, quietly. We'll enjoy it.
Really now? Why would you enjoy it?
We're going to go fresh.
All right. Final answer, fresh. And we can see Mike off to jail as it is rotten.
Well, Jeff, do you know what's not rotten? This lovely Wakulla Hefeweizen from First Magnitude Brewery in Gainesville, Florida.
That's a great segment.
That was a segue. I tip my hat to you.
I didn't care for that movie, just FYI.
And you yourself could be sponsored on the Pub Trivia Experience. Just give us beer. We'll talk about it.
That's right.
And we will talk about your beer a lot.
We're literally accepting payment in beer. It's not difficult.
And bourbon, scotch,
and
whiskey.
Bourbon and scotch.
Rum, when my wife has the baby, we'll take rum too.
Rum's fine. Just no vodka.
No one drinks vodka. I'm not Russian.
No.
Well, cupcake vodka, yes.
Oh, God. You're not Russian. You're just a 14-year-old white girl. Great.
I'm a 19-year-old sorority girl. Thank you very much.
Oh, is that what they do there? All right. We're on to Jess and Jason. Go ahead and pick a number.
Five.
Numero cinco is 2011's Troll Hunter.
What the hell is a troll hunter?
Sounds like something that went direct to DVD.
I'm trying to remember. What was the year again?
The year was 2011. It was a greater time.
I would have to agree.
I'd say rotten.
No, but I think it's foreign. I don't think it's probably an artsy movie. So, I didn't see it, but I don't think it was an American movie. I want to say probably, just because it's artsy or foreign, it's probably fresh. That's just kind of my gut.
All right, sounds like we got some conflicting statements there. What is our final answer going to be?
Well, I don't know enough about it to conflict strongly, so
we'll go. I think it's foreign, so I'm going to say fresh.
Okay, with the answer of fresh and the theatrical release poster having a quote that only could come from the wonderful Chris is pretty damn spectacular, it is fresh.
If I'm not mistaken, it's from Norway.
You are correct.
It's a Norwegian film.
Oh, okay.
It is.
Yeah, and it's supposed to actually be really good. I never saw it, but I've heard it's really good.
Well, now I need to watch it.
I've heard it's spectacular.
And Chris's pretty defense, damn. The quote from him would have been pretty damn phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Got to get the hands in there, too.
Exactly.
All right. Chris and Mike. Go ahead and select a number. We've got 2, 4, 6, 9, 10.
Oh, good. I wasn't keeping track of numbers.
I could tell.
We'll do 10.
All right, going with 10. 10 is the 2006 movie The Hills Have Eyes.
With the always beautiful, is it Emily DeRaven? I believe. I don't know how to say her name. She's from Lost. She's in Once Upon a Time, yeah. She's also the daughter in The Hills Have Eyes remake. And the guy from, Monk. The guy who played the lead detective in Monk is the father. And he gets, crucified on a cross in front of her.
It's Tony Shalhoub?
Tony Shalhoub.
No, yeah. Not Tony Shalhoub. Not Monk himself. The detective.
Oh.
That works with Monk. The blonde guy, big dude, big bushy mustache. He gets crucified in front of her, dies in front of her in a really gruesome way. The movie is really good, but Mike, I can't think of any way in hell this movie is fresh.
My instinct was to say rotten, but I don't really remember the movie that well. So I feel like it's one of those I've seen part of. I don't think I've seen the whole thing, but
I think it's another one of those.
I agree with you. It's probably rotten. I mean, horror movies in general, I think unless they're foreign. As Jeff pointed out.
Well, I mean, I think there's genuinely really good horror movies, and I don't put that on this list.
No, I agree. I think there's a certain type of horror movie that critics are going to like, and that doesn't seem like it.
No, this is definitely not it. It's The Hills Have Eyes. Jess, didn't Wes Craven do the original version of this in the 80s or 70s?
Yeah. Yes, but I believe he also produced this one. He was involved with the remake too.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't think he directed it. I think
no, he didn't direct it. Mike, I'm saying I'm going rotten is my best guess.
Yeah, I would go rotten, Chris. I agree.
Rotten,
and the answer is in fact rotten. All right, Jess and Jason, we've got 2, 4, 6, and 9 left.
Yeah, go for it, Jason.
9.
9, it is. 9 is 2017's Happy Death Day.
Ah, I love that movie. I love that movie. Ah, chick's so hot. Yes. Did you watch the sequel, Chris?
I love the sequel, too. I love them both. Yeah. The sequel's not scary. It's not.
No, it's not, but it works.
She makes it work. That girl's insanely talented.
I love it. I think it's actually a really good movie, not just horror movie good, but good movie. Smart. I think critics would enjoy it. So I'm going to say fresh, Jason.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's totally fresh.
So is she?
Well, the answer is fresh.
We've had that question before.
We have?
Yeah.
With what?
We've had either that or we've had the sequel to it before.
I think we had that one before because I feel like I remember being surprised that
it No, we had the sequel because we did it, Jess, because you were on the show. It was Happy Death Day to You. And I read them.
I think I was on that show.
You were on the show because as soon as I read that, you went, "Oh, that girl's so hot."
The same response
you had tonight you did 3 months ago.
Noticing a trend here.
Oh, yeah.
Jess has good taste in women. Yes, she does.
Thanks.
All right. Chris and Mike, we've got 2, 4, and 6 left.
You want to go with number 2?
Sure.
Number 2 is 1973's The Exorcist.
Ah!
Oh, Chris, this has got to be fresh, right?
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's fresh. It's got to be.
Or is it one of those?
No.
Let's not talk ourselves out.
We're not overthinking this. It's fresh.
It scared the crap out of me. It's
one of the best movies ever made.
The Exorcist is, in fact, fresh. Well done. All right, we've got 2 left. Number 4 and number 6.
4.
Number 4 is 1997's I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Ah! I love that movie, too. That was my high school experience.
I do love that movie.
It's so good.
What are you waiting for, huh?
Jennifer, I love Jennifer Heathcliff.
Yeah, I was definitely not watching this movie in 1997.
Oh, this movie's so good.
Oh no, that's a great movie.
Yeah, I would have been nine.
It was right after Scream came out, and it was
yeah. I love Scream too.
Because it was the same. Scream Kevin out. Williamson wrote them both, right?
Right.
Make a fun horror movie.
Hey, you know, it's nothing against Jennifer Love Hewitt, but Sarah Michelle Gellar was.
Yeah.
She was the one that did it for me.
No, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She's pretty. They're both pretty.
Although Sarah Michelle Gellar had my favorite.
I don't think critics would love it.
I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing.
It's fun, but it's not. Yeah, I would say rotten.
All right, well done. It is rotten. And Chris and Mike with the last one at number six, we have House of 1,000 Corpses from 2003.
Love that movie.
Terrible.
Chris, there's no way that was fresh, right?
Rob Zombie's fresh.
Rob Zombie doesn't shower. He's never fresh.
Yeah.
He looks better in person. I saw him at a rock festival. He's actually pretty attractive.
Well, that explains Sherry Moon.
His wife's a lot hotter, but yeah. Sherry,
I don't know, Chris, what do you think? I feel like there's no way that movie is fresh, but.
So Devil's Rejects, I would have assumed is fresh. Devil's Rejects is one of the most messed up movies I've ever seen, though.
Right.
Yeah.
It spawned two sequels, so. I remember liking it when it came out.
Never heard of it.
Okay, Mike, you want to go rotten?
I don't know if that's just my personal biases. I've never cared for Rob Zombie musically, movie wise. Like I just don't. He doesn't do it for me, so I don't know if that's my personal biases.
Okay, so I'm not gonna push you one way or another. But right now we've had nine questions.
No, I know. I've been yeah. Mathematically speaking, assuming it should be fresh, you're absolutely correct.
But I don't think I think it's a horror movie. I would assume horror movies are more rotten than fresh. I'm okay going rotten.
Right. I mean, it's up to you. You've seen it. I haven't. So if you think it's the kind of movie that critics would be like, oh yes, this is a good example of the horror genre, then.
Well, no, but my mind goes to. Do they? I'm not saying a critic would do this. But do you appease the person who's making the cross from music to movies and give him a good score because it was better than you thought it was going to be?
Oh, and that's a fair point. Some expectations can play a role as well. So,
but I mean, I don't want to overthink it. Let's go rotten.
Yep. Okay.
And the answer is rotten.
Woohoo!
Well done.
Bonus, 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 bonus.
All right, after the initial halftime, it was 8 to 10. So we've got 38 to 40.
Ooh.
Our bonus question, which is for 10 points. Out of those 10 movies, which had the lowest rotten rating?
Can you list the rot? Can we get a list of the rotten ones again? Or
I've got them here, Mike.
Okay.
I mean, it's up to you if you want me to give that information to Jess and Jason as well.
Yeah, I don't remember all the movies.
I'll go ahead and read through the list of the movies. Not just the rotten ones, but I'll read through all of them. We have Ma from 2019, The Exorcist from 1973, Child's Play from 1988, I Know What You Did Last Summer from 1997, Troll Hunter from 2011, House of 1,000 Corpses, 2003, Halloween H2O from 1998, Freddy vs. Jason, 2003, Happy Death Day from 2017, and The Hills Have Eyes from 2006. Now, which of these movies had the lowest rotten rating?
All right, Mike, I just sent you three that I'm down to. Yeah, so, that's on my list as well. If you're okay with it,
so I just want to clarify the question. We're saying lowest rotten rating. would that imply freshest because the its rottenness is the lowest?
You're looking for the lowest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, I'm looking for the most rotten out of those 10
most
movies.
Most rotten. Okay, that's what, yeah. So, Chris, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's up to you, but that
we're good with it. We'll lock in. We'll let them talk it out.
All right, they're locked in. Jess and Jason, if you guys want to talk it out, go ahead.
I'm thinking just I've seen most of these movies and remembering all the rotten ones. My gut's kind of going with House of a Thousand Corpses just because it's so out there and it's not a movie for everyone. So that's where I'm kind of leaning towards that.
I'm good with that.
All right, you guys locking in with House of 1,000 Corpses?
Yep.
All right, Chris and Mike, what is your answer?
So we went with a movie that I love. We went with Freddy vs. Jason.
Freddy vs. Jason, all right. Well, Freddy vs. Jason had a rotten score of 41%.
I don't think that's low enough.
No, which, that's actually a lot better than I was expecting.
Which is pretty bad. However, House of 1,000 Corpses had the lowest at 20%.
Ouch.
Well that done.
Hurt. Hey, Mike, all that talking we did about, you know, is House of 1,000 Corpses fresh or rotten? Don't listen
really
to me.
Rotten.
Don't listen
again,
to me when I talk.
I, like I said, I was concerned my personal biases were getting in my way because we didn't even talk about that one in terms of choosing the we threw out a couple choices. That one wasn't even on it in terms of the most rotten.
So. No.
Yeah, I remember distinctly earlier in the game when Chris had said, "Remember when I feel passionately about something?" And this time he said, "It could have been fresh." Yeah, very rotten.
Yeah,
very rotten.
Very rotten.
That's your clue.
Alrighty, so, wow, after that bonus point, we have quite the separation.
Son of a...
It is now 50-38.
Ouch. That's alright, we're good.
There's plenty of time to make it up, plenty of time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We are now on to round 3.
Woohoo!
The theme of this one is gore, and I do not mean my last name. Question number 1. What trap in the Saw series appears numerous times, has a timer, and is padlocked to the jaw of a victim?
You want the name
Can
of the trap?
Can you repeat that one more time, please?
What trap in the Saw series appears numerous times, has a timer, and is padlocked to the jaw of a victim? And yes, I would like the name of the trap, please.
I think that's the name of it, Mike.
You know, as soon as he said it, I knew exactly what the trap was, but I couldn't tell you what it's called, so I'm fine with that.
I'm the same. I can picture it, but I don't remember what he called it.
Yeah, we'll lock in. We'll lock in.
Yeah, right, did we lock in, Chris? Because I don't think we have anything better than what you
That's
said.
That's the best I got.
Yeah, I don't have anything, so.
All right, they're locked in. Jess and Jason, if you guys like to talk it out, you're welcome to.
That's some kind of bear trap.
That's what I was thinking.
But like backwards. That's the best I can think of right now.
Hard read.
It's like a backwards bear trap or some sort.
An inverted bear trap.
Inverted. Isn't that the same thing? Backwards, inverted. You just want to go with that then?
Reverse bear trap?
Sexual position. Yeah. Backwards bear trap.
Oh, girl. Come on now.
It does sound kind of gay. I don't know.
All right. Now I'm Googling all these things for sure.
That's a fun little...
And we encourage all of our listeners to do the same.
Google away.
While you're driving. No.
Not while you're driving. No. Especially while you're driving.
Make sure you get to work first and then start Googling.
On the company Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I got fired because of a podcast.
We're going to get sued.
Yeah, good luck.
I'm broke, so. Okay, so what are you guys going with?
Jay, I'm saying backwards beer trap.
All right. And Mike and Chris?
I wish I would have thought about it. We just said bear trap. We didn't think about inverse or reverse or anything like that. Although now I
might have been overthinking it.
Now so. I can't get reverse bear trap out of my head.
All right, so...
I'm going to wake my wife up.
With the reverse bear trap. I'm going to go ahead and give you the correct answer, which is, in fact, reverse bear trap.
Damn it.
And I think because they were closer, I'm going to have to go ahead and give them the points.
No, that's the correct decision, yep.
Yep.
Who's got time as a cancer patient to reverse a bear trap?
Say what?
I don't know. I got nothing. All right. Question number two. In the 1992 movie Dead Alive, what two animals make up the hybrid creature that first spreads the zombie plague?
Oh, son of a... You couldn't put this one under directors, really?
Nope.
Isn't this the movie where you use a lawnmower to kill about all the family? Like his in-laws or something like that?
I don't think I've seen this one. You thinking of the Lawnmower Man, maybe?
No.
I
don't know. It a really stretch with that title.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen this. Have you seen this, Jason?
I've seen because it wasn't called Dead Alive. That was the U.S. version. It was something else.
I haven't seen it, but I feel like I've seen the I've seen it on Netflix, like the picture. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Really, it's on Netflix.
I think I could be way off, but it sounds familiar. But I haven't seen it.
1992.
Yeah, I think Chris has just given up with me as a partner. So,
You haven't seen Dead Alive, Mike? Really?
I'm like I've seen Dead Again. It came out pretty much the same year. I'm thinking.
No, this is the movie. It was called Brain Dead when it first came out.
That is correct.
That doesn't ring any more bells.
Directed by Peter Jackson.
Yes, at some point
that's
in the movie.
That's why I'm thinking I'd
at some point in the movie, like,
no,
the main
no, no.
character like starts a lawnmower and like rolls over or like uses it to get out of a horde of like undead people.
Right. This was Peter Jackson's movie before The Frighteners.
I love The Frighteners.
I love The Frighteners too, but I that's why I know the name of the movie, but I've never seen it.
These are all wonderful facts, however.
Yeah. Mike, I want to talk this out. I want to let them lock in. I've got a line of thought here, but I don't know how to get to an answer with it, but maybe you do.
That's fine. I've already forgot the question.
I would like to hear his line of thought before we lock in.
So could you repeat the question one more time, please?
I'd love to, sure.
Could you include the answer?
I would not love to, no. In 1992's Dead Alive, what two animals make up the hybrid creature that first spreads the zombie plague?
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
No, it's not.
Chris, Abby's 199 animals book is right over here if you want me to just grab it and point.
It's going to be the 200th one, Mike. It's the turducken. It's got to be the turducken.
Yeah, that's three animals, though.
Oh.
Yeah, suck it, bitch.
Oh!
Did I just receive a very long text message?
You're getting a couple from me. I have a line here, and I don't know if this is going to help get us there at all.
Maybe.
No, Mike. I don't think that's the right way to go.
I literally have nothing. You saw my text about. The way I was thinking about it.
Yeah, that's. No. I don't think that's the right answer.
No, it's you're thinking it's not.
I don't think this is the right answer either. But at least I can logic my way to why this makes sense.
Sure.
Unless is there anything I'm missing in my logic stream that you can think of?
No, I mean, the only other thing I could think of is if you try and go like, okay, maybe he pulled animals that were also used in Lord of the Rings, but that would be a bit clairvoyant, so.
All right, well, we'll lock in then.
Sounds great. Jess and Jason, if you guys would like to go ahead and talk it out. I'm also going to include, to spice things up here a little bit, that for each animal that you get correct, I will give you 5 points. So you have a possible of 10 points on this question.
Okay. Mike, we might get 5 points then.
Let's go with your answer.
My answer?
Not the pig and the fly, though.
No, not that. I mean, but raccoon or possum?
Oh, son of a bitch.
Huh? It's
raccoon.
I like both of those better than I like my own answer. It's totally a raccoon.
Getting there, Chris. So.
Okay, we're gonna say a monkey and a raccoon met. They fell in love and all that shit.
Right, right. That's what I've told my kids. So, all right, Chris and Mike.
So we talked it out.
Chris talked it out. If we're right, I take no credit for this. If we're wrong, I take. I just had no idea at all.
I'm just trying to think.
I texted Chris. I was like, "What was it like that?" I was going mythical creatures like combination. So Chris had a much better way of thinking about it.
Well, we're talking about spreading disease. So I'm thinking there's got to be some. If it's me, I'm thinking what spreads disease historically, and mosquito is not an animal. I wouldn't think like mosquito is the number one spreader of malaria, but not an animal. Also, if you combine it with an animal, it's weird.
Right.
So I think if I remember, like, the Black Death, I thought was spread by rats. Am I right there, right, Mike? And then I couldn't come up with another one. We definitely said rat. And the only other thing I can think of is the thing. Mike's right. It's the thing that spread the disease and outbreak. And Mike said monkey. So he locked in with rats and monkey. And I really, for the love of God, I wish I had thought of raccoon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure wish I had thought of monkey. That was what made me think of monkey too, was outbreak.
Okay, yeah, I'm not the only one. I really wish I had thought of raccoon. That's pissing me off.
Well, yeah, I do too, Chris. You're just
like, that's right though.
In a wild turn of events, the correct answer is actually rat and monkey.
Holy shit!
Oh wow!
Oh wow! You guys are right.
So you guys get 10 points, and we get 5 points over to Jess and Jason.
Mike, we made up points.
I take zero credit for that one. Well done, Chris.
Nice.
Well done.
Son of a... I still would have rather gone raccoon.
I didn't want those 5 points.
I would have gone raccoon too.
Damn it. All right.
All right, lovely. In
raccoon makes more sense.
It kind of does, yeah. All right, question number 3. In The Silence of the Lambs, with what kind of beans does Hannibal Lecter say he ate the liver of a census taker with?
Locked in.
Yeah, we know that one.
Bonus, what's the wine that he says in the book?
Yes, can we have correct. Bonus for the wine?
No, you don't get bonus for the wine because I wanted to use this as a trivia question of the day, and I sent it to Jeff and Marissa, and they both said, no, that's too easy. Do you not remember that conversation?
Oh, I barely remember most things, yeah.
It's all the weed.
Yeah, well, so much of it. All right, Jess and Jason, did you guys want to go ahead and chime in?
Yeah, go for it, Jay.
Some fava beans. And a nice Chianti.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. He didn't say Chianti, right? He says Chianti, right?
He says Chianti. It's pronounced Chianti. And either way, Chianti doesn't really pair well with fava beans, which is why it was different in the book.
What about liver? Does it pair with liver?
Maybe it was liver that it pairs with. I don't remember. But I remember reading that. Like in the book, it was supposed to be a sign that he was a sophisticate. And then wine lovers, they changed it for the movie. But wine lovers were like, yeah, but that's not a good pairing. So... he doesn't sound like a sophisticated.
Well, it's obviously supposed to be paired with a Pinot Grigio.
Well, naturally.
Sure.
Pinot Grigio is the wine you pair with things when you don't want it to change the flavor at all because it has none.
All right. On to question number 4.
Did we get the answers right?
You did.
Anyways, yes.
Yeah. So. Clearly, you all knew that.
Yes.
I was like, oh, maybe this one's interesting. No, it wasn't.
Sorry, Jeff.
I'm an idiot. On to question number 4 of the idiot's questions. The survivor at the end of The Human Centipede forms what segment of the centipede?
Ew.
Ah,
This is the gore section.
The shitty end.
A bad visual in my head.
Mike.
My only familiarity with this movie is the human scent iPad South Park episode.
Yes.
So
you didn't ruin the terms of it.
So I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here picturing, you know, the Asian dude asking Kyle what he wants him to eat. You say cuttlefish. I believe in you.
Oh my god.
Oh yes.
Mike, you officially know more about this movie than I do, so take a guess, lock it in. Oh, I don't god. Care. I am not gonna get this right.
It's either front, middle, or back. I mean, it's a human centipede. You know, fuck everything about this movie. Like, this is, doesn't even make sense. It's, I don't even know if it qualifies as horror.
Okay, I've got if it's those three, I've got a guess.
Okay, but yeah.
I'll lock in a guess. Three.
Can you repeat the question one more time, please?
Sure. The survivor at the end of the human centipede forms what segment of the centipede?
If you remember who the survivor was, I can tell you what the position on the centipede they were.
You've seen the human centipede? Jason, have you seen it?
It just sounded so disgusting.
That's why I shouldn't speak ill of a movie I've never seen, but I'm just like, this movie, why did this
movie the idea, like, so
horrible.
I love gore and stuff like that. This is just like, ugh, like two girls in a cup, gross. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
A bit much for my sensitivity.
It's just gross to be gross.
I can't. I
the no. Survivor? The Survivor. Have you seen this movie, Jason?
Once. And it's been a while.
I'll go with whatever you say. Totally in your hands.
I can't remember which one survived, but
probably needs a lot of therapy for him, whatever.
All right, yeah, we'll lock in with that answer.
All right, and that answer is
the correct one.
I think it was the chick, and she was in front.
Okay. Had I known that the woman was in front, I would have assumed the woman is the one that survives. But with the category being gore, we decided the most goriest position to be would be in the middle of the human centipede.
And I think that was the Asian guy.
Well, the...
I also can't remember
who... South Park, the Asian guy was in front. That's all I know.
All right. Well, kudos to South Park. However, at the end of the human centipede, the survivor was in the middle.
Ooh!
Nicely done. Right. Nice, Chris. Good guess.
It was gore. I figured that's the only one that has to be sewn up twice, right?
Right.
Ugh, I couldn't imagine.
What a gross concept.
I don't want any more beer.
Dead people on
either
end
of you. I just want to just go to bed.
I need a shower.
That's not
I need a crying game shower.
All right. After the end of round three, the team's totals are Mike and Chris, 58. Jason and Jess, 65. All right, round four. Round four's theme is The Killers. And now,
Mike, you like the band, right? We're good?
As long as it's the earlier stuff.
Okay. Then we are good to go.
Fortunately for you guys, it has nothing to do with the band.
Well, I am Mr. Brightside.
Ah, yes. Question number one. What Huey Lewis in the News song plays when Patrick Bateman dispatches Paul Allen with an axe in American Psycho?
Oh, my God.
Got it.
Lock in.
Lock in.
Go ahead, Mike. Lock it in.
A race to lock in. Who wants to give it up first?
Hip to be square.
Yeah, it's hip to be square.
It's totally hip to be square.
Well done. Question number two. Real-life killers Ed Gein and Elmer Wayne influenced the creation of what character in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Mike, I can lock in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it's... Yeah. I'm going to text you, but I'm assuming that that's what it is.
All right, Jess, yeah. Jason?
Yeah, that has to be it.
Yeah, Leatherface.
All right, Mike and Chris?
We want Leatherface.
You are both correct. Leatherface is the right answer.
Wasn't Ed Gein, wasn't he also the inspiration for, well, part of the inspiration for Psycho?
Yes. This is true.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
It's Stanley Kubrick's best movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, question number 3. What actress played the character revealed to be the mastermind behind the Ghostface Killer in Scream 4?
Oh, wait, 4?
4?
4? 4.
Chris, I believe...
I've got it.
I'm texting you. Do you know it, Chris?
Yep, I think so.
Wait, repeat that one more time, please.
That's it, yep.
Sure. What actress played the character revealed to be the mastermind behind the Ghostface Killer in Scream 4?
We're locked in.
All right, they're locked in. Jess and Jason, you guys can talk it out.
What actress was the Ghostface Killer in Scream 4? Was that the question?
Or what actress actually is Ghostface Killer?
Exactly.
Oh, from Wu-Tang?
Asking the important question.
Yes.
It's Betty White.
That would make a great music video.
No, I don't think it's Jackie, Jason. I think that's 2.
I think that is. Was it 2? I was thinking 3, but I don't remember 4.
Wasn't this the one we went to the drive-in for this one?
There's only one reason you go to a drive-in movie theater.
Barely hear the damn thing because it was dark.
Well, and then that guy left his wallet in the concession stand, so that ruined the reveal.
Yes, that's right. This was the reboot movie. Remember? And at the end of the movie, Nev says, "Don't fuck with the original," and I was like, "Hell yeah!" Did I hate reboots most of the time?
Dude, Scream 4 was good.
I'd like to point out they should have let her get away with it, and that would have taken Scream 4 to the next level.
Yeah, but Scream 4 is good.
It was pretty good. It was also better than 3.
I'm not going to say that. I want to, just in case they guess that actress. But.
Yes, and I know that in that movie, the killer was a chick. I remember a couple of people that were in that movie, aside from the usual suspects, Nev, Courtney, and Dave. Wasn't Emma Roberts in that movie, Jason?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Check from American Horror Story. Used to date your boyfriend.
Peters.
Yeah, they were almost like going to get married at some point.
She played Madison and Coven, right?
Yeah, she played one of the witches. I don't remember all the names. See them once, but she's the only one I can remember that's not staple of that franchise. So
is someone knocking on the door?
Oh, sorry, no, that was me. That was me on the couch. I'm gonna say Emma Roberts.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, unless you want to say something else.
I do not.
All right, Chris and Mike.
I'm so mad that you got there. I'm so damn mad. There's 2 other actresses in that movie that have become like decent name stars. Because you know, like there's Emma Roberts is in it. You know, Courtney Cox is in it. Allison Brie is in it.
Allison Brie, was she in Mad Men?
Yes, and she was in Community. She's in Glow, and freaking Hayden Panettiere is in it.
It's true.
And you got Emma damn Roberts. Are you kidding me?
Aiden Panettiere. What has he done?
She done? Heroes.
Wait.
I never saw Heroes.
I'm back on my favorite. Did they get it?
They got it.
They did get it.
Are you fucking kidding me?
They got it.
I was like it's gonna take them so long to deliberate and they're never gonna get there, so I'm just gonna go.
They freaking got it.
Well, she was the only one that I remembered, because it's been years.
No, well done. I couldn't even remember her name. I was like, it's Julia Roberts.
Question number 4. In what Halloween film does antagonist Michael Myers not appear?
Ah,
Locked in.
Lock in. We can, yeah, we can lock in.
Well, screw you guys. I thought this was the hard one.
Are you, Dr. Jess, you're locked in?
Yeah, me and Jason.
Mike, it's Season of the Witch, right?
Right.
It's Halloween which 3?
Is, which I believe is, that's why I texted you. I believe it's Halloween 3.
Yeah, it's called Season of the Witch.
Right, because I believe Halloween, isn't Halloween 4 titled Return of Michael Myers?
Yeah.
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 All right, the answer is, in fact, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Woohoo!
Well done, everyone. And after round 4, we have a close game. The self-titled losers have 78 points, while Jess and Jason have 85.
Oh, that's close.
We are now on to our final round. Our final round is completely themed around threes. You may be questioning, what in the hell does that mean? Well, fortunately, in the horror movie world, there are many anthologies that include way too many movies.
Yeah.
This is all related around the third one of each.
Oh, God. All right, Mike, I'm texting you my opinion.
I was in the middle of texting you mine, but... So, I had two options, and one of them lines up with yours, so I'm good with yours.
I like your first option, though. Hold on. Damn you, logic.
Yeah, it's up to you. I mean, I could go either way. I mean,
less semi-aggressive.
All right. Yeah, let's go with what we both agreed on. We're good.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
We're locked in with our wager. Hey, big shout out to Big Top Brewing. As we're sitting here doing this podcast, I threw it out there yesterday that we're going to be drinking the Hawaiian Lion. They have liked my comment.
So how much are they sending us?
Nothing yet.
Ah.
Hey, Big Top Brewing, if you listen to this episode, like, send us some Hawaiian Lion. Like, I promise you, we will talk it up as much in every episode as long as we have cans available.
Big Top Brewing. Go to them so we get free beer. Well,
they did the... oh, man, what was the other one I had from them that I loved? And as bad as it sounds, I get them and Clown Shoes mixed up.
I mean, that seems totally logical.
Yeah, right?
I think we have a wager.
All right, we have a wager.
47 minutes later.
Oh.
Damn.
Damn. And that wager is?
78.
I love it. Going for it all. Chris and Mike?
Yeah, we threw it all in as well.
Whoa, going for the throats.
Mike, it now occurred to me there was a clear third option that we should have gone with.
Zero.
We should have bet zero.
Yeah.
I love that this game's now going to end 0-0.
It cannot possibly end 0-0 if they only bet 78.
Right.
How many points do they have?
They had 85. We have 78.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I typed it in wrong. All right. Final round. Here we are. The question is, please place the following movies in order from most lifetime earned to least.
Oh, God. Okay.
We have Paranormal Activity 3.
Adjusted for inflation or no?
I believe they are.
Okay.
These are all threes, right? So it's the third movie.
That is correct. Paranormal Activity 3, Alien 3, Saw 3, and Scream 3. Please place those in order from most lifetime earned to least.
Could you repeat the movies, please?
Absolutely. We have Paranormal Activity 3, Alien 3, Saw 3, and Scream 3.
Totally should have gone zero, Mike.
This is one of the harder ones.
We're close. We just can't both get to the same spot at the same time. All right, Mike, I'm good with that. You want to lock in?
Yeah, it's up to you which one you want to go with.
We'll go with yours. I can get behind that. All right, we're locked in. Jess and Jason can talk it out.
Are we talking about the whole order or just the first pick?
Whatever. No, whole order. We already locked in.
They locked in. So
the whole shebang.
I mean,
so the first pick
in the NFL draft.
I know, right?
Not Brady Quinn.
Tua.
Hashtag tank for Tua.
We're gonna go with the highest to lowest. Paranormal saw scream alien.
All right, you are locked in with paranormal saw scream and alien.
Yeah.
All right. And Chris and Mike.
So we kind of went back and forth. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just gonna say we pretty much felt like the third Saw would be number one.
It's when I feel like it's when like the Saw franchise really hit its groove. My hang up on Scream is like it's the last of the movies. Was it the last because it didn't do so well, or was it the last because that's just Wes Craven didn't want to do anymore? Paranormal Activity made huge money. Like the first one, they made good money, but I felt like I didn't know where to put it. I would have had Saw 1 and Paranormal Activity and Scream were between each other. And we both kind of agreed that Alien, because there was such a long gap after Alien 3 before Alien Resurrection came out, that Alien 3 bombed. And I remember there being problems with Fincher in the studio making that movie.
Yeah.
Am I misremembering that, Mike?
No, that's exactly what I remember, too. But I don't know if that translated into it bombing, but that's what I remember.
I don't either. So we went Saw, Scream, Paranormal Activity, and then Alien. But Paranormal Activity is the one that's bothering me because I feel like as those movies went, when they got big, they were making over $100 million at the domestic box office.
Yeah, now that I hear it, I almost would have reversed Paranormal Activity and Scream, but...
The first one of those, that first Paranormal Activity is done like a no-budget movie. It's phenomenal. It's really scary.
Like I said to Chris, Paranormal Activity was the only one I legitimately didn't know there was a third, but I've never seen any of them, so.
Oh, wow.
There's one where they actually mount, like, because it's all shot in, like, home security cameras and stuff. There's one where they mount, like, a security camera or a camera on an oscillating fan, and it just keeps moving from room to room.
That's the third one.
Is that the third? That was creepy as hell.
What, I loved it.
Was Paranormal Activity the one where the last shot of the movie was literally the poster?
The last shot of the first movie was they paid to have that shot done, but it was the husband being thrown back into the camera and then like the wife walking back into the room when she was possessed.
That was the first one.
Yeah.
There's some movie where I thought it was one of the Paranormal Activities where the last shot of the movie is literally like the woman getting dragged back away from the camera.
Oh, that's Wreck.
Put it on the fucking poster.
Quarantine.
Yeah, the Mexican film is Wreck, but it's Quarantine with Jennifer Carpenter.
Yeah.
I love her.
It was a remake of a Spanish film.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got you guys locked in with Saw, Scream, Paranormal Activity, and Alien.
Yep.
All right. Well, starting with our lowest earned film, we have Alien.
Oh, wow.
Hey, at least we're both right on that one.
With $55
million. Ouch. That's it?
That is it. Now, to be fair, these are domestic numbers, so they're not worldwide. Number three, we have Saw 3.
Ow.
Yeah. Shit.
Ouch.
At $80 million. Number two, we have Scream 3.
Saw Scream mixed up.
$89 million. And number one, we have Paranormal Activity 3 with $104 million.
Yeah, I knew. I figured Paranormal Activity might have gotten near 100. I thought Saw would have done better.
I did too.
And I'll be honest with you. The Scream movies, I don't know how they did at the box office. I wasn't watching box office numbers back then.
The third one being that good.
The first two were really good. I thought third one just showed their coattails.
Isn't the third one had Jay and Silent Bob in it?
Yes.
Scream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay really remember
it. It was written by Aaron Kruger instead of Kevin Williamson.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, with a rousing
nobody
finish.
Nobody man, or how does that work? Oh, the waiter.
Oh, God.
Let's, with a rousing finish here.
This is the lowest scoring game ever.
We have a we have a very boring football score of 0-7.
Wow. Good job, Jay.
Way to go, Jesse. Yeah. Jason.
Mike, we're both drinking Natty Light tonight. Holy crap.
Yeah. Oh, so they did, in fact, risk 78, not all.
Right. Yeah, they risked 78.
Okay. Yeah.
Damn it. We should have gone zero.
We should have gone zero.
We should have gone zero.
I know.
Zero's always a fine choice.
Not when we go to trivia. We have had the lead. No joke. We have had the lead. The first place lead a half dozen times going to trivia, bet zero every time. We're lucky if we get third place after that final question.
Wow.
Inevitably, there's four or five teams that get it right. But they're not on their phones at all when there's only seven teams there. So, All right. That has been another edition of the Pub Trivia Experience, where we do put the pub in pub trivia. Cheers. I have been Chris.
I'm Jeff.
This is Jess.
Jason.
And Mike.
We will see you all next week. Have a happy and safe Halloween, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
I wanna get you alone and do it again, do it again.